that song resonates in my spirit. I don't know how about you, because a lot of times the question is, why me? Why me, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? Why they keep doing it to me? You know, why me? But I love the power of that, that says, why not me? I won't break. I can make it through the storm. Come on, why not me? It just resonates because it lets you know that God has chosen you. This is not no random thing. The enemy can't touch us unless God allows him to. And we must remember that when we're going through that, we've been highly recommended. Come on, by the Lord. And if we're highly recommended by the Lord, it lets us know that we're not going through anything by ourselves. Amen. And he wouldn't even let us go through it if he didn't think we was going to come out. But there's a purpose to all of his plan. The enemy may mean it for evil, but God, he always turns it to good. I love that song. Why not me? And sometimes we got to think about that when we're kind of like feeling just so overwhelmed. We got to say, in one of the Psalms, it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? It's saying, I'm asking myself, why are you cast? Yet I will hope in the Lord. Why are you cast down when you believe in God and know that he's for you? And if he's for you, who can be against you? Right now, we're just going to pray. And Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for everything thus far. Oh God, we thank you for just the awesome time we've had in worship, God. Oh God, just beautiful to get in your face, God, and see you bigger than this world, bigger than our problems, bigger than our aches and our pains. God, when we get in your presence, everything becomes small, God. You are the biggest concern that we have, the biggest focus. And God, when we focus on you, we know that everything's going to be all right. We thank you for this another day. We thank you for this another week, a moment in time, God, that we can receive from you, God. And we're thankful, God, that you would come to speak to us, God, that you would give us another word, God, to carry us on, to give us more grace, to enable us to do whatever it is that we have to do, to stand up whatever it is that wants to come against us. It's all through you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are we dismissing our children this morning? Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
I just keep hearing that song. Didn't she do a good job? Amen. Just love that ministry of dance. Amen. To be able to express things where you can just feel the anointing. I thank God for that. This is something that today that God has given me, and I've been working on it. And it seems like everywhere I go, and even in my own family, that this comes up over and over again. And so the title of my sermon today is called The Gift of Reconciliation, The Courage to Begin Again. And this is something that as you're out and about, or as you talk to different families, and like, what are you going to do? What are you guys going to do for Christmas? Who's coming for Christmas? And a lot of times people are, you know, they'll tell you who's going to be there, but they'll also tell you who's not going to be there. And they'll tell you, you know, we haven't talked to them in years. You know, there's something going on. There's some kind of friction. There's some kind of division where you never can get, like, and I'm not just talking about traveling. We know sometimes we can't travel because we're far places. But sometimes it's about what's going on in the hearts of families that they cannot get together. And sometimes it's such a sad thing, because God has given us just great families, but something has happened. There's been some kind of break, some kind of offense, some kind of something going on. Come on. It's not just in the natural family. It can be in the family of God, where we can't go and be in the same place together because there's that kind of offense, that something's going on. Well, we're going to talk about that today, because God, through when we're talking about the sweet baby Jesus that came, that baby Jesus came to be a baby as a baby, but he came to be a man, to walk this earth, to let us know what we can do. A lot of times we want to focus on what we cannot do, but God wants to know what we can do through him. And although there's a lot of chaos and a lot of hatred and a lot of different things going on, God wants us to know what we can do through him. You know, I was thinking about our dear friends. Some of you guys might not know them, but that was Rodney and Monica Moss. And I was just thinking about how this this year, I think he told us it's been like 11 deaths, you know, one right after the other. But and grief is a hard thing sometimes, you know. Well, I'm going to say sometimes. It's really a hard thing. And so can you imagine? It's just one after another, mother, father, brother. There's just dying. And so this last week, his daughter's husband, their son-in-law, he came out of from taking his wife to work, came out the building, saw someone stealing something from a car, and he said, let them know you shouldn't be doing that. He gets in his car, and these two guys chase him down, shoots him, and kills him. This is a father. This is a husband. Somebody's son. And his life is just senselessly taken. And you know what? What are we going to do with that? A lot of times, that's why people have anger and unforgiveness in their heart because of the chaos that's in our world today. But God wants us to know what we can do when we have Jesus in our life in spite of the chaos, in spite of the meanness and the hatred that goes on. We can make it. Why not me? Now, in our mindset, that's not why not me. We don't want to go through that. But somebody's going to go through it. Why not me? Somebody's going to lose somebody. Why not me? That don't even sound, that don't even make sense, right? In your mind, it's like, no, not me. But why not me is because it's going to happen, because God said in this world, we're going to have persecution and tribulation and trials. We are going to positively have it. And it doesn't matter whether it's the Christmas season. It doesn't matter if it's your birthday. It doesn't matter. All these holidays pain does not discriminate just because it's a holiday. Pain comes. But we've got to get to a place that we're standing so firmly in Christ and know that we are called to be an ambassador in Christ to show people what we can do when we're going through this pain, that we don't have to fold up. We don't have to cave in. We don't have to start hating people. We don't have to start going back you shoot me, I shoot you, because we have Jesus in our lives. And so that's why this sermon is so important right now, because of all the gifts that we might find under a tree, all the gifts that we read about in the Bible, joy, peace, love, one of the gifts that we will be slow to open up is the gift of reconciliation, because it means that I have to do something. It doesn't sound like a fun gift or a warm, fuzzy gift, but God has given us, it is a gift. And without the gift of reconciliation, we'd be killing each other every day. Come on. Our hearts would be so very, very, very hard. We would, hatred would just take over. But reconciliation is a gift. So in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, it says this: but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, and brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry, believers, I want us to get this morning. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You want to be a minister? Got to reconcile. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. A lot of times we want to be a minister. We want to talk. We want to be behind the pulpit. We want to do. But God wants us to come out the pulpit, live a life of reconciliation. That speaks louder than any sermon I could preach with my mouth. Is what am I doing with my life? How am I reconciling with people in my life? The ministry of reconciliation that by word and deed, come on, not just speaking, and deed, we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. This is the ministry of reconciliation that we have. Not just preaching a word or delivering a word or exhorting to someone. It's can you bring them into harmony? Can you come into harmony with one another? That's the sermon right there. Can you love those that hurt you? Can you be in harmony? Can you bring it into harmony? And once you bring it into harmony, can you bring others into harmony? Is that ministry so deep in you that you're not part of the person that's inciting hatred? But you're the person that's saying, no, we should love them. No, we shouldn't talk about her. No, we should bless them that hurt. Are you part of that person of that team? Or are you the part of the team that's inciting hatred? And when people hurt you, you're just holding it. But God wants us to get it off of our hearts. This morning, God said, "If I could just get hurt off your heart and pain off your heart and resentment off your heart, if I could just get hatred out of your heart, it'd be the best Christmas ever." Best Christmas ever, when all you have in your mind and your heart is peace. The Bible says that he'll be called the Prince of Peace. And that peace is what he wants to give us, that wherever we go, we don't walk in and we see somebody and go, oh, I can't stand them. Oh, they get on my nerves. Oh, let me go another way. I don't even want to talk to them. God said if he could just get us to a place that our hearts is just free from all of that and that peace just really resides in our hearts, that we can look at everybody and say, oh, how I love them. Oh, how I love that soul. Oh, how I want to pray that God blesses them, that God encourages them. See, can you imagine that? He says spreading good peace and goodwill. We're spreading goodwill. God wants to get us to that place. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, it says, all this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God says, settle it. Settle it. I would say tell your neighbor, but I'm going to tell you to tell yourself. Settle it. We're good at telling our neighbor, but come on, settle it, Linda. Settle it. Come on. With whatever's going on, settle it. Settle your relationships. God wants us to settle our relationships. This season is wrapped in lights. It's wrapped in music, declarations of love, joy, and peace. We exchange gifts. We share meals and sing about a Savior who came to bring goodwill to all. And yet, for many people, this season also reopens wounds. Saddest things, there are empty chairs at tables. Someone that should be there but won't be there because something is on their heart or something you have against them or something they have against you. It's a season where names we don't mention anymore because we've cut them out of our lives, out of our thoughts. There's messages that we don't send to that one. We can send to these, but not to those. There are people that we avoid. And you're talking, Pastor Linda, are you talking about out there? No, I'm talking about even in the house of God. We celebrate the birth of Christ while carrying the weight of fractured relationships, unresolved conflict, and unforgiveness that has quickly become normal. We tell ourselves, that's just the way it is. That's just how things work in our family. We don't talk to them. They don't talk to us. That's just how it is. It's become normal. But God never intended brokenness to be normal or a permanent condition. He tells us, don't be vague and thoughtless. We need to think about what's going on in our lives and not keep moving through it. We need to stop and say, God, help us to overcome this. Among all the gifts this season that God reminds us of, hope, peace, joy, and love, there is one that is the hardest to receive, and it's one that is the hardest to give, and that's the gift of reconciliation. Reconciliation is not easy or cheap. It requires courage, and yet it is the very heart of the gospel to be reconciled with God and to be reconciled with one another. In Genesis, I want us to go there. There's an important story. In Genesis 45, 4 through 5, we find a story that really helps us to move through reconciliation. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. I am your brother Joseph. Whom you sold into Egypt, and now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Have you ever wanted to run away? Away from a relationship that hurts you? Away from a situation that's just so messy? Away from people who have wounded you so deeply that facing them actually brings back hurt? Facing them actually feels impossible. It's like, I don't even want to be with them anymore. I don't even want to see them anymore. I don't even want them in my life anymore. Sometimes the mess that's in the house, it feels easier to escape it than to confront it. Sometimes the enemy wants us to use hurt to destroy relationships that naturally carry purpose, value, and a future God has planned. The enemy's all about wanting us to destroy something that God really meant for it to be something great. There are people that we have cut out of our life because, and I always call it like this, it was not the right season. We have not let it mature. Sometimes it's still green. And it has it like, you know, that green fruit. And when you go to taste it, it's like, it's not. It's hard. It's nasty. It's bitter. And we throw it down. But it doesn't mean that it's not good fruit. It just means that it hasn't matured. And sometimes that's what happens in our relationships. We weren't mature. They weren't mature. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't a good relationship. It doesn't mean that it doesn't not supposed to have a godly result. It doesn't even mean that it's not going to have godly good for our generations. It just means that it was immature. It's not right now. It's got to go into mature. But when we let it go and we push it away and say never no more on things that God really meant to bring into our lives, actually to cause maturity. But we say, you couldn't be in my life and you're hurting me. But he's actually pulling something out of you. He's actually letting you see something in yourself. But a lot of times we see what's in them, but we don't see what's in me. It's because God's a good, good father. And he orchestrates things so well that he's working on us both. We can't walk out of any kind of relationship saying it's all them. No, there's something in us that God wants to show us. There's a strength that God wants to bring out. There's a purpose that if we allow it to mature, we would see the real fruit of it. Joseph had every reason in this story to run, to leave, to hate, to give up, But God kept him. Joseph's brothers, they betrayed him. They rejected him, and they sold him off like it didn't even matter. Then they went to his dad and told him that he was dead. By the time Genesis 45 opens, Joseph is in power now. Isn't it funny once we come out of a place of sadness or madness, when we get a place of power and God raises us up, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with that power? In the book, in chapter 45, we find Joseph has the power and he has the opportunity to avoid. His brothers come to him, not knowing that this is Joseph. But now Joseph's in rule. And you know, when we rule and somebody's hurting us, we could think of a lot of things we could take out of their lives and hurt them back and do some revenge, because now we're in power. So Joseph had an opportunity right then to avoid them, to ignore them, to act like he didn't know who they was. He had the opportunity to put them in prison, to kill them. He had the opportunity to get revenge on them. Or he had the opportunity to simply ignore them and move on and act like he didn't know them at all and move on without them. Things that all of us have thought about to do when someone has hurt us. But instead, Scripture says Joseph tells them, come near me. Come near me. And some of y'all might say, did you want to slap him? No. You know, come near me. No. Come close. Come near me. He knew that they had done this terrible thing. But instead of pushing them away, he offered them an invite to come back into his space, to come back into his life. Have you ever thought about that person? There's a person you thought, they ain't ever coming back in my life. I'm never letting them back in. But Joseph said, come near me. And you guys, that takes courage. Courage when someone has hurt you to say, come near me. Takes courage because in our mind we're thinking, they're going to do it again. I'm not letting them even close because they're going to do it again. And I can't go through this pain again. I can't go through this hurt again. I can't feel what they made me. You don't even want them close. It takes courage, and courage comes from God. This is nothing that we get on our own. Sometimes God won't let you run away from certain relationships because he still has purpose for them. And not every broken relationship is meant to be abandoned. Some are meant to be redeemed. But the enemy, who we know who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he tries to steal relationships that might have God-given value. Because the enemy loves division. He loves silence. He loves avoidance. He loves bitterness. And he loves fractures, and he loves us to be broken. This morning, as I'm talking, God said it's for the house. Somebody might be going, what is she talking about? But God said, even some of y'all saying, what am I talking about? God said, just dig a little deeper. If he would give me the prophetic word to call out the name of the person, y'all would know exactly what I'm talking about. But he wants you to think of it right now, okay? All right. Some relationships, though, I want you guys, because somebody, you don't know. They've hurt me real bad. They beat me. They do. Now, look, some relationships are toxic. Come on. And they are unsafe. They are unsafe. Those must be handled with wisdom. They must be handled with wisdom. And that's why the Bible says, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. So don't try to handle some of this stuff I've seen women and men, it's sad, but men are getting beat too nowadays. Women and men stay in relationships. I've seen, literally seen, women stay into relationships until they were beat to death. And that is not God's desire. And so in those relationships, you must go get counsel, because sometimes the enemy's so deceiving that he makes you feel like you deserve that. He makes you feel like this is all I can do. But that's why, get counsel, okay? Make sure in those you go and you get counsel. But God wants us to know that not every relationship is like that, where it's, you know, something you got to get out of for safety and for life's sake. Some relationships are wounded, not worthless. Joseph's brothers, they were wrong. What they did was wrong, was terribly wrong. But the relationship, it wasn't worthless. The enemy tries to convince us that it's easier just to cut them off. Don't deal with this mess. Got too much going on to be dealing with this mess. Or he might make us feel like, don't get your heart fixed there. Just stay in that hurt place because it's safer. Because in the hurt place, we put up walls, right? And so it feels safer because we keep building the wall stronger and stronger and higher, and we feel like this is a safe place. They can't hurt me. They can't get in to hurt me. But one thing I've learned about it is they can't get in, you can't get out, and those good relationships, they can't get in. Because they've hurt you so bad that you build up this wall that when something good comes along or something right comes along, you don't trust it. Your response is totally negative. Although they want to love you, they want to give you love, you're pushing them away because you've built up this wall. I'm never going to be hurt ever, ever again. And so now you can't get out. And no one that really God brings for you to help you, they can't get in. And so let's not listen to the enemy. God has a way. But sometimes the very relationship the enemy wants to destroy is the one God intends to use. And I want y'all to hear this. The biggest reason to bless generations. The story about Joseph was not just about Joseph. It was not about Joseph just being blessed. It was about all his generations being blessed. They had to come back together for all of them to be blessed. And so a lot of times the enemy knows that God's got a blessing, a generational blessing, and he'll cut something off right here. He'll cut something off between you and Uncle Joe or you and Daddy or you and your husband. He's cutting things off because he knows down the line there's a generational blessing. And if he can keep all that mess, you got to get through the mess of the generations to get through to the blessings that God wants for us. If Joseph had ran away and ran with his emotions, he would have missed the restoration of a family, the preservation of a nation, and the fulfillment of a promise. See, when Satan comes after you, he ain't just coming. See, it's when Satan's coming after you, guys, just know in our hearts, if he's messing with you, it's because you got a big blessing. You got something God wants to do, something so big. And we fall for it because the enemy keeps on making us feel like they hurt me. And I love that. Why not me? This is what can stop us if we take what she just danced out. Instead of saying, why me? Why are they doing? Why me? Why not me? Why come God can't use me to go through a little bit of hell so that our whole family can have heaven? Why not me? Why not me? Because he's with me. He is with me. And no matter what I go through, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. Come on, God is with us. And we got to start saying, why not me? If God's letting something happen in my life, as long as I hold on to his unchanging hand, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to come out all right. And it's going to be bigger, bigger than me. It's going to bless family, nation. We're going to receive the promise of God. God gives us courage to face what hurts us. If we would just look to God, God gives us courage to face what hurts us. In that text, Joseph tells them, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves. Can you imagine telling somebody who done sold you into slavery, told your dad you was dead, they didn't even look. This is years later that he's confronted with his brothers, that they're not even thinking about him. Can you imagine telling them, don't be distressed? I'm thinking in my life, before Jesus, I would have tried to bring every kind of distress I could bring to them for going through all that. But only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. He gives you courage to face people with the spirit of grace. It's an enabling grace he gives you to look at somebody and say, don't be distressed or angry with yourselves, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Joseph, one of the things that he does, you guys, he reframes his pain through God's perspective. Our problem is we got a perspective of what's going on and what they did to us, and we got that natural perspective. And that natural perspective is that one that wants an eye for eye. Yeah. What you do to me, I'm going to do to you. But God wants us to have a God perspective. A God perspective that says grace changes things. Love changes things. Love does something bigger than an eye for eye. In the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I'm thinking we'd be eyeless and toothless. The whole world. If we walk that out, the whole world would have no eyes and no teeth. Come on, because you hit me, I hit you back, you did something wrong. But God, he had a better plan. He had a better way to love our enemies, do good to them that despitefully do good to them. Come on. He didn't look, and you know what? He didn't just say hi to them. Because, see, some of us, we feel like we all right. We all right. You know what? I done forgave them. And if I see them in the store, I'm going to go, hey. No, God takes it deeper than that. He said, do good. Do good. That means that's something I've got to do. I've got to ask God, what can I do for them that will show them your love? Do good to them that despitefully use you. That means that you're picking them up if they need a ride. That means that you might be giving them some money because you see them in a hard way. That means doing good when you'd rather ignore them. Doing good when you'd rather forget them. Doing good. That means inviting them over for dinner. See, the doing good part takes us to another level. We want the simple stuff. We want, you know what? I'm going to treat them with a long-handled spoon. And hope they don't cross my path. But if they cross my path, I will say hi. God wants it to be something that his power and his love is something that's shown. What if God said that about us? What if he said that, I'm not going down there and die for them. I might say, hey, but I'm. No, he did good for us. He went to the cross for us. God wants us to know that. It takes courage to begin again. It's not pretending, and this is what I want you to know, because sometimes this makes people feel a little tight, and that's why we don't want to open up the package. We're like, I don't want to hear that message this morning. I'm not telling you to pretend that the hurt didn't happen. Joseph didn't pretend that the hurt didn't happen. Not at all. It's not denying the betrayal. But what it's doing is trusting that God could work through the pain instead of letting the pain control your future. That's what it's about. Trusting that God is going to work through this pain instead. And some of us have things in our life that's controlling us. Pain that's still controlling us. It affects our attitude. It affects our response. It affects our freedom to just really have joy, 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 because there's that little bit of that real little bit of unforgiveness, that hurt, that over here we're really, really, really happy until that over there comes that is still hurting. And then the light goes dim and it gets dark, and God doesn't want that. He wants, let your light shine and be free with your light. God will give us courage to have that conversation that we've been avoiding. Now I want y'all to listen, because God said it's in the house. Merry Christmas. This is Merry Christmas. God wants us to have that conversation, and he will give us that courage to have that conversation that we've been avoiding. Conversations that we're avoiding, they don't make us feel free. They don't make us feel good. Every time we see them, sometimes we go home and we have a conversation with ourselves as if that person was there. But God says he will give us the courage to have the conversation with them that we've been avoiding. He will give us the courage to reopen doors that we have slammed shut. He'll give us courage to try one more time. He gives us courage, you guys, to love again. He gives us courage to forgive again. And he gives us courage to hope again. This is true reconciliation. The enemy steals your hope. He steals your forgiveness. He steals your love. He steals your heart in relationships where that ook is still in our hearts. He is stealing from us, but God wants to give us courage. This Christmas, I'm hoping somebody, and when I say Christmas, I want y'all to remember what I told you about what Christmas means to me. What? More Christ. Mas Christo. More Christ. What that means is more Christ in this situation. More Christ in the dark areas. More Christ in my heart. That's what it really means to me. It's not just about a baby coming in a stable. It's not just about presence under a tree. It's about his presence in my heart, setting me free so that I can be free to love everybody as he has loved me. And he gives us this courage to have reconciliation, not because people are perfect, but because God still has purpose. He has purpose in our relationships. He has purpose that big things that he wants to do in relationships that have been severed and have been cut off because maybe it wasn't the mature time, the ready time. You need to grow some more time. But for some reason, for this time, 2026, are we in 26? Okay, wait. In 2025, God wants us to get this and not carry it into 2026. He doesn't want that. Come on, let's get it off our hearts. Beginning again is a move of faith. It's not a move of feelings. Some of us say, I don't feel like it. I just can't wrap my mind around talking to him again or her again or them again. They hurt. I don't feel it. I'm going to do it when I feel it. God said, get this word and faith it. Because if you're waiting for feelings to come, the enemy's going to steal your feelings till Jesus comes. God said, come on, let's start faithing what God is saying for us to do. It's not waiting till you feel like it. Because we're not going to feel like it in the flesh. The flesh is never, let me tell you, it's never going to feel like it. But the spirit man, if you allow the spirit man to take control, the spirit man's going to do what God says do. And the spirit man knows that God is said to reconcile. Be ye reconciled. So we can't be basing it on feelings. That God said, there's too much feely-feely. Feely-feely in our walk. Do I feel like doing that? I don't feel like doing that. My feelings just, I don't feel that. God said, we didn't come on feelings. He called us and we walked out on faith. And what we walked out and walked up into faith is what we got to do with every part of our lives and every part of the word, even the part of the word that just seems so hard. God says, come on, faith it. If I said it, that settles it. If I said it, you can do it because I'm in you. You're not doing it by yourself. Just say, yes, we sung that song so beautiful a couple Sundays ago, that song that we kept singing, yes, yes. I just felt like it was ringing out into the parking lot. I said, let it just ring all over to the world that we'll just say yes. Yes, not based on feelings. I got to wait. I got to pray about it. What you praying about when God told you what to do? We just got to do it. I mean, that's just something we be saying. I got to pray about it. God said, thou shalt not. And you saying, I got to pray about it? Just do it. Just do it. Faith says, God, if you are in this, then give me the courage. Give me the courage to start again. And beginning again is not weakness. Sometimes we think when we go to people and we try to get it right or we try that that's weakness and that they're going to think we're weak. And don't we feel like, why do I always have to say I'm sorry? Why not me this morning? Why not me? Why do I always have to give in? Why is we think of it as a weakness and they're going to walk all over us and we don't want to do what God says because we want to appear strong in our own strength. And God said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he says, I said, reconcile. It's not about what they think. It's what God has said. God wants us to know that beginning again is not weakness. It truly is spiritual strength. It truly is maturity. It takes a lot of maturity to go back and reconcile and not sit in a corner and be mad and hate on. It takes a lot of maturity to love in spite of. That takes maturity. But most of all, it takes obedience. Because God has said it, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to reap the reward of being obedient to God. This morning, you guys, some things are too valuable for us to let the enemy keep stealing from us. Sometimes we look at that person and we think they're not valuable, but they're valuable. Every person is valuable. God wants us to know that. There are relationships. There are connections. There are family ties. There are friendships. There are ministries. I want y'all to get this. There are callings that are too precious to leave behind because of hurt. I'm going to say that one more time because we need to get that because some of us feel like we can cast it off like it's nothing. But God said, no, it's too precious. There are relationships. There are connections. There are family ties. There are friendships. There are ministries. And there are callings that are too precious to leave behind because of hurt. Joseph teaches us this. He teaches us don't run away from what God can redeem. He teaches us don't let pain decide your future. He teaches us don't let the enemy steal relationships that heaven intends to heal. Sometimes we don't even ask God when we say, I'm never going to. We don't ever ask God, God, is that your will? We just prophesy to ourselves. We prophesy, I'm never going back. I'm never talking to them again. I'm never letting them in my life. We don't say, God, is that your will? We just say, surely it has to be your will because they hurt me. But that's not necessarily true. Amen? God doesn't like the hurt, but it does not mean that there's not a connection, a kingdom connection that we might be foregoing because the hurt is bigger than what we want to do to reconcile and see what God wants to bring forth from it. We need to ask God, God, what do you want me to do with this relationship? God, what you want me to do with this ministry? God, what do you want me to do with this calling on my life that I'm saying I'm not doing that no more? We need to ask God that. We say, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not doing that. Callings we're saying that we're not doing anymore. Who gave you the calling? Who called you? And why you haven't gone back to him to say, God, is it time out for this calling? A lot of times we don't go to him because we already know the answer. And we want to do what we want to do. Maybe today, you guys, God is whispering in your heart. Call them. Call them, daughter. Call them, son. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let it go. Forgive. Maybe he's saying, try again. I'm with you. Try again with me. Try again doing it my way. Try again. Maybe he's saying, face what you've been avoiding. I'll go with you, but face it. Face what you've been avoiding. You guys, these are Christmas gifts right now. Chris, take the bow off now. But they're Christmas gifts. They're real Christmas gifts this morning. Or maybe you're the one who needs to, instead of how Joseph told them to come near, he said come near, maybe you're the one that needs to come near and say, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Let's begin again. Please forgive me. Can we begin again? We need to ask God today, God, give us the courage to begin again. Because when God strengthens our hearts, that messy place can become a miracle, you guys. That wound, that place that wounded us so bad, it can become a witness to the power of God, to what God can do when two people come together and wait on God to do what he has to do in each heart. And we're obedient. Man, that can become a great witness. And broken places, they can become mended and become a blessing. God wants to say to us this morning, reconciliation is not about winning the past, but it's about redeeming the future. I want you to get that, because when he said that to me, I said, what? It's not about, because that's what we like to win. Joseph could have said, I'm not going to do anything till these boys come up here and tell me that they're sorry, get on their knees, tell me that they did the most horrible thing and that I'm right. See, I want to be in the right position, that how you did hurt me, and I need you to say you hurt me, and I need you to say that you're sorry, because I want the past that I've been telling everybody about And God said this, stop telling people on people that have hurt you. Stop rehearsing that story. Because we walk around talking about, I forgive. And every time somebody comes up, you know what they did? They hurt me so bad. And that, did you forgive them for reals? Not real. It's still there. And God is saying, no, let it. Real forgiveness and real peace in your heart is when you really let that thing go. You let them go and you're not still in the past. Like I said, it's not, you're not about winning the past. Well, some of us want to win so bad. We want every, not just me feel sorry for me. I want you to feel sorry for me. I want to tell you the story so you feel sorry. I can see it on your face. Oh, poor Pastor Linda. They did that to Pastor Linda. Oh, my God. The people that keep telling you story. And you, let me, I'm going to tell you two good, powerful ways this Christmas. Stop telling the story and stop being a listener of the story. Cut it off. Sometimes. If a person's not telling you a redeemed story, then what they need is prayer. They don't need you to sit and just sit there and go, oh, that's so sad. They did that to you? I can't believe that would. No, they don't need that. They need to come out. They're already in the pit. They need a hand out of the pit. And the hand out of the pit, that's what God has called us. He said, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. When I'm with you, I'm not trying to keep you in an unrestored a relationship. I'm trying to bring you reconciliation out. I'm not sitting there listening to how deep and sad and how they did it so bad. Because at the end, what happens? Usually, when people tell us a story about somebody that has done them hurt, and the saddest thing is sometimes we don't even know the person, but all of a sudden we take on their story. And the next thing you know, I'm treating Amber like Pastor David told me she was. That I saw that, Amber. I saw that. I'm just telling you, all of a sudden, because Pastor David has been hurt by Amber, then all of a sudden he's telling me about how Amber hurt him, how Amber did this, or she was, you know, had a nasty attitude. And next time I see Amber, I'm like, come on. Because somebody, now you got connected to their sad, mad, unforgiving story, and the next thing you know, you're in that story. You wasn't even in that story, but now you're in that story, and now you treating people that you don't even take the time to have a relationship with, but you're bearing your relationship off of what somebody else said. Oh, that devil! Oh, that deceiving devil! God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And what we need to do is we need to be saying, you know what? Come on, you can, in the name of Jesus, you have the power to forgive. You have the power to let go. You have the power to love again. Yeah, we don't get there and help them stay in it. Oh, come on, give somebody a Christmas present this year. A Christmas present that says, I'm here. When I came into your door, I came in the door with the ministry of reconciliation. You can talk about your husband. You can talk about your friends. But with me, I'm going to tell you, this is what we need to do. We need to be reconciled. Be reconciled with your husband. Be reconciled with your friend. Because that's what the Bible wants. And I'm going to help you to get the courage to go have that. Don't have that conversation with me. Why are you going to have that conversation with me about Amber when the Bible says go to her and her alone? What part of the loan we don't ever get? No, you guys, I'm telling you something I know, something I've done, something that I have to stop and say, wait a minute, wait. Because it's so easy for our flesh to want to go to somebody outside of the situation instead of going to the person. Send them back. Say, hey, you know what? You need to go back to that person. You scared to go back? You don't have the courage to go back? Then I'll go with you. I'll go. You know, if we start telling people, when they start telling us stuff, if we start saying, you know what, can I repeat that? Can I repeat that to them, what you just said? I'm going to help. You know how, like, my sister, my blood sister, she, if I told her something, she was right back going to go back and tell you what I said, and she was going to see, did you say it, and then there was going to be something after it. If you really didn't say it, she's going to handle it. But our thing is we don't go. We don't, because opposite of courage is coward. And that spirit of cowardice, is it rests on us. We don't know. We don't want to go through the drama. We don't want to go through the, you know, if I go to, I don't know how they're going to act. I don't want to go through all that. So I'd rather go and talk to Pastor David and say, Pastor David, I'm just telling you, what do you think I should do? What do you think? I already know what I should do, but what do you think I should do? But I just want him to, you know, kind of get in there with me. But if you want somebody to get in there with you, then say, come and go with me. Come help me. Come and go with me. Come on, come and go with me, Pastor David. Let's talk to Deacon Juan together. Come and go with me. See, that's different than us. We've left it with that person. Wives, you've left your story with somebody. And what's really funny is that we sometimes have reconciled, and we didn't go back to the person that we told the stuff to. That now they're all messed up. They're all messed up. They don't like who you don't like, but now you like who you said you didn't like. And you didn't go back and tell me now you like them. And now I'm on the outside right now, and y'all all hooked up, and I'm going, what? I thought she didn't like her. I thought she hurt her. Because I'm kind of not smart either for buying your story and taking it on like it's my story. You guys, this is wisdom. This is power this morning. Let's do it right so the house of God can get you know, strengthened and strong. We would all, if somebody just came in and when I'm talking, they go, Pastor, come on, let's go. Do you, how many times do you think I'd come to you if you, every time I came to you and I said, and you just said, Pastor Linda, either you, I'm going with you to that person, or you going to that person. And I'm going to find out if you went to that person, because you've already told me enough that I need to find out. How many times would I come back to you? I'd be like, you know what? You the wrong source. But we need some God source in this house, right? We need that, because the spirit of reconciliation, it is given to us. It is that ministry that we all have. But if we don't not careful, we'll let the enemy steal it from us. And why did God give us that ministry? Because it's the only thing that binds us together. And God knows it. He said, I've given you the ministry so that you can reconcile yourself back with each other. And you can help to restore relationships. But remember this, we first got to be vertical, reconciled with God, before we'll be reconciled horizontal, okay? A lot of times we're messy when we're messy with God. Something in our heart is messy with God. We're mad, we're upset, we don't think that he's done us fair or right, then we can get into messy stuff. But when we're reconciled with God, we want to please God. When I'm reconciled with God, I want to please God. I listen to the Holy Spirit when I'm reconciled with God. The Holy Spirit says, shut up. The Holy Spirit says, don't talk like that. The Holy Spirit says, don't you say that about me. I can hear it when I'm not messy with God. When I'm not into my own world, my own thing, I ain't been reading the word, I've been praying, I can get real messy. So we got to make sure we're reconciled with God this way, so that horizontally we're going to be reconciled with one another, right? God wants us to be reconciled. He has given us that ministry of reconciliation, and we thank God for that. It says, and I'm going to end on this, it says this scripture. The Messiah has, in Ephesians and it's in the second, from the 14th to the 16th verse. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. Then he started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Can y'all just, this is the gift that we have through Jesus Christ. We have reconciliation. We're not on separate sides. God has brought us together. The enemy wants to keep us apart, but God brings us together through reconciliation. And this morning as we stand, I pray that you receive his gift. I pray that this morning you say, Lord, I receive the ministry of reconciliation. Father, please help us. Help us to be ambassadors and representation of your reconciliation. Help us not to be used by the enemy, oh God. Help us to see that this really matters, God. Help us not to just take this and gaff it off, God, and stay mad at somebody and put it off till another day, till we feel like it, God. God, help us to put our feelings under the blood and put our obedience on the throne. We want to love like you. We want to walk like you. We want to forgive like you. Oh, God, help us in the name of Jesus. Father, today we ask to start in a prayer in our heart for that person that gets on our nerves, that person that we want to truly just run from when we see them, God, that person that we wouldn't even think of inviting to our house or to our table. God, help that person to be prayed for by us. God, we lift that person up right now in the name of Jesus. Let the thief steal no more. God, those people that we have rifts with and division with, God, we're praying that before this year is out, and in this coming year, God, that you're going to mend it. You're going to mend the broken places, God. And maybe that as we go toward them, they don't move toward us. But God, we ask right now that the main thing is give us a clean heart toward them. Give us a pure heart toward them. Give us a ready heart toward them, to be ready to serve them as you would ask us to serve them, to go to them, to come near, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you right now, God, for coming near to us, God. Thank you for loving us, God, and not discounting us, or not thinking we're valuable because of our sin, oh God. We thank you, God, that you reconciled us to the Father. God, help us to be those that reconcile in the name of Jesus. Help to restore others to you and to each other. God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for these gifts. They are gifts, God. They are gifts, and we won't leave them tied up, God, in a box because we don't want to open it and we don't want to do our part, and we kind of know what that means. Today, we untie the bow. We open the box, and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of reconciliation. Thank you for loving us so much that you made a way out, that we didn't have to be hard, that we didn't have to be resentful, that we don't have to stay bitter, we don't have to stay mad, God. Thank you for that way out, that our hearts can be purified, our hearts can be pure, our hearts can go back to soft, oh God. Thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We love you so much, God. And we believe, God, that you give us what's best. You give us what is needed. And we will receive this needed gift in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. This morning, if you don't have a church